We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
You doing good? First, stay standing for a second. Firstly, I just want you to know on behalf of my wife and I, if anyone is going to go to heaven, it's you. Like, churches all over the country have, you know, chosen to, you know, just be cautious and in the abundance of caution. But you guys, I said to Sharon, I said, honey, if they're still having service, we're going to come. And so we got on a plane and I even got smacked by the air stewardess yesterday on the plane because she was offering a bag of treats and I put my hand in to take one of the bag of chips and she says, no, I hand it to you. You don't touch it. Is that a true story, honey? She smacked me. I said, you just touch me. And then I said to her, I said, I got it. I get the rule. But it'd be good if you told the customer before you hit him. So I've actually suffered persecution to be here today. It's been a tough trip. I mean, the Apostle Paul got shipwrecked on a ship. I got slapped by an air stewardess trying to grab a bag of chips. How many think the Apostle Paul had a little tougher? We're so glad to be with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing church and 35 years. And Lord, I know the best is still very much in front. I thank you, Lord, for Don and Nita. I thank you, Lord, for Chad and Julie. Lord, I thank you for the whole Braswell family, the legacy that this church is creating. And I thank you, Lord, her best days are still very much ahead. I thank you for a faithful group of people who've gathered this morning. And I ask God that it would be so worth their while to be in your house this morning. And everybody said, amen. You can be directly seated. Praise the Lord. Do not shake hands. Do not pass go. Amen. It's good to be with you. I actually was praying about what would I share this morning. And you know, one of the things I really want to do is just tell you how much I admire Chad and Julie. I remember when they came down to Virginia Beach and were in our Bible school. And I remember I was talking to your pastor at the time, who is still the founding pastor of this church, Don and Nita. And they were looking for someone to be in youth ministry and making some new initiatives in the life of the church and responding to all the good things that were happening. And I said, Don, I know who your youth pastor is. And he goes, who? I said, he's sitting right there. His name's Chad. He's your son. And it's funny. Don went, wow. And then to see Don take that, for Chad to take on that role and what he did in youth ministry all those years ago, and to see him now pastoring the church, one of the most amazing transitions that is a model to churches in the United States. And I want to applaud you. But I want to say this as much as I just said that. There's the Braswell family. There's Ryan, there's Brent, and there's Stephanie. And I want to applaud you because what you've done as a family and your life and your family, I want to say well done to you and congratulations to you for being amazing family that are stepping up to fulfill the call of Metro Church. Come with me to Romans chapter 12. I got a few verses. Is that okay if I read the Bible this morning? I mean, you know, you came to church, so I hope you're expecting me to read the Bible. I mean, if you went to Walmart, you'd expect sales. Amen. So it says in Romans 12, verse 3, and the title of my message, before I even start reading, is I've got a lit verse in a dark place. I want to share with you a lit verse in a dark place. Romans 12, verse 3. It says, for the grace that was given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think for yourself more highly than you ought. I love that because it says, it's not that you can't think highly of yourself, but not more highly than you ought. But rather think of yourselves in sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For each one of us has one body. For each of us has one body and many members. And these members do not all have the same function. In Christ, we, though be many, form one body. And each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So if your gift is prophesying, then what? I can't read it just like prophesy. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. I just read that you can't just say prophesy. You got to go prophesy. Everybody say prophesy. In accordance to your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. In other words, teach, teacher. If it's encouraging, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. The only thing that actually gives a qualification is the giving one. And it says, if it's lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. I love it. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Have you ever seen somebody lacking in zeal? You ever seen it? And the Bible actually tells us here that it's possible, if we are intentional, that we could find ourselves in a place where we are never lacking zeal. God wouldn't suggest it if it weren't possible. And let's be honest, at times we can all have a decline of our zeal, but the Bible says never be lacking in zeal. But listen, here's the answer. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. The way in which you keep your spiritual fervor is serving the Lord. The way you start lacking zeal is by stop serving the Lord. If you stop serving the Lord, you'll be lacking in zeal. Have you ever seen people, when they lose their zeal, one of the first things that goes is their service to the Lord. And they've got all these reasons and excuses why they're not serving anymore and why this is someone else's fault, why they lost their zeal. But the Bible says, keep your spiritual fervor. It is your responsibility. You can't blame someone else for why you don't have zeal. It says you keep your zeal. I just thought that was a good thing to point out. It says here, watch this. He goes, I love it. This is the part I want to get to. But be joyful in hope. How many know we can be joyful in hope in these days? Come on. Patient in affliction. How many know we're learning that one right now? I mean, I've seen people fighting over toilet paper. I've seen some of the most absurd things happen. I think this morning in a Sam's Club, there was a person who got so angry at a Sam's Club, he actually got a bottle of wine, smashed it, and tried to cut someone with it. I'm just thinking, we just might want to get back to what the Bible's trying to teach us here. And it says here, watch this now one more time. Listen to what he says. He goes, be patient in affliction. That's me, like when the stewardess hit me. How many know I still haven't gotten over that the more I talk about it? Be faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. And I love this one. Watch. Practice hospitality. In other words, you're going to make some mistakes. And the Bible gives us permission to practice it. Amen. So how many of you have made some mistakes in your practicing hospitality? Amen. And so here's just a few thoughts that Paul is saying. He's going, don't think of yourself more highly than you should. And, you know, you got to work your gift and appreciate the fact that we're all members of one body, but we're different. He's saying, hate what's evil. Cling to what is good. Honor one another above yourselves and be devoted to one another. I love this because all the preceding verses, what I just read, is Romans 12, where it talks about the need to renew your mind. Amen. And his closing thought, he tells us to be intentional in three qualities that we need to work on. And I want to speak to you about what's happening in the light of the celebration of 35 years, but also I believe what I feel like is the future is going to look like for us as a church. Can anybody say amen? Amen. But also how to actually live in a time like this that is dark and still be lit up. Yeah. Amen. And it's three simple things. Look at it. Be joyful in hope. It's be patient in affliction. It's be faithful in prayer. So how many want my lit verse? That's just my introduction. How many want my lit verse? Hey, church, I got a lit verse for you in a dark place. Right now, not just Massachusetts and not just the East Coast, but this nation and the nations of the earth are in somewhat of a fear, epidemic, and a panic. There is grave concerns out there. And how many know the church is still the hope of the world? How many know that the church is meant to be, in this regard, spiritually a hospital? And when people are in need, they turn to God. You ready for the verse? Okay, you've all heard this verse. But I've got a lit verse for you in a dark place. You all know this verse. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's a lit verse in a dark place. We are living in dark days. I mean, how many remember, just curious, how many remember 2003 August 14th, 2003. Does anybody remember that date? Does anybody remember something significant that took place on that date? Anybody? No one? One person. I saw one hand. Okay, let me put it to you this way. One person remembers that date, probably because he probably has something to do with that industry. Does anybody remember the blackout in New York City? And the whole, and by the way, it wasn't just New York City, wasn't it? The whole East Coast? Didn't the blackout start up in Canada and work its way down? And it's an interesting thing because we had missionaries flying to, I think at the time, to Russia. And they were in New York City. And then I have a friend of mine, his name is Tony Evans. And he was also in New York City. And he was at the airport when the entire airport went dark. And everything, the entire city went dark. There was not a light on to be found. And so all the computers shut down. And so he was at the airport wanting to fly back to the church he pastors in Texas. Our missionaries were in New York City trying to fly over to Russia. And so he, like every other stranded passenger, had to find his way back to New York City to get a hotel. But no hotels had power, for there was a blackout. And so they get in a cab and they find a hotel. And actually where they went to was the Crown Plaza Hotel in LaGuardia. And it was in total darkness. And they had to go in to a foyer that has no lights. There's just flashlights. And they go into the foyer and they get a room. They had to go up the stairs to get to their room. The elevators weren't working. And they get to the room. And the first thing he does, the room is so dark that he opens the window trying to let the moonlight in. And to his shock, when he looks out the window of his hotel, the hotel across the road, and I wrote down the name of the hotel, the Marriott across the street was lit up. There were lights everywhere. There was light in the darkness. And there was, they went straight away downstairs and they went across the road and there was music playing. And there were people outside having a nice coffee in a cafe and they were singing and they were laughing and the TV was on with the news about the blackout. And then Tony's thinking, what the flip are we doing there? We should, this is where they at, this is where the light is. So he said to the manager, how can this be? And the manager said something that blew him away. He goes, oh, he goes, we have power on the inside that's not controlled by the circumstances on the outside. You see, when we built this hotel, we built this hotel with a gas generator. We've got power on the inside that's not controlled by the circumstances on the outside. In this day in which we live, does anybody believe we've got some power on the inside that is not controlled by the circumstances on the outside? We've got something within us that is overriding that which was without. Amen. And let me tell you right now, there might be some darkness that's crouching. You might in your own family face a dark situation. Maybe when it comes to your health, you're facing a dark situation. Maybe you're really concerned about politics right now, and you feel like this is a very dark place for our nation. Maybe you feel like there's darkness covering just your whole life, but I've got a lit verse for you in a dark place. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And I want to declare your next 35 years will be brighter and bigger and stronger and better. Amen. Now let's look at this dark place, because actually when you read the book of Jeremiah, to be honest with you, the whole book of Jeremiah is a bit of a depressing book. The whole book is a dark book. And look what it says in verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty says, the God of Israel, says to those carried away in exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So they were sent into exile because they sinned against God. Their financial situation was desperate. They were forced to live in the godless place of Babylon. Even to preachers of the day, they were lying to them, saying, God will help you today. But God did never come through. And they said, God will help you tomorrow. And here in this chapter that we read, there was darkness because of our own decisions of sin and rebellion and not trusting God. So God allows them to go into exile. And he says to them in this moment, I want you to hear this. If you're not in a dark place right now, it means either you've just come out of one or you're about to head into one. Come on, somebody. And life has dark chapters. And listen to this. If you are in a place that you feel is dark, I've got a lit verse in a dark chapter. I've got a lit verse in a dark chapter, in a dark book. The whole book of Jeremiah is a dark book. It's one of judgment, negativity, darkness, depression, bad memories, bad mistakes. But in a dark chapter, in a dark book, there's still a lit verse. And the lit verse is God has a plan for you to give you a future and a hope. Come on, somebody. I love that word hope, because hope is always future orientated. Hope does not have hope for the past. Hope is always looking forwards. Hope anticipates where you're going, not even where you are. Anybody catch that? I mean, the rearview mirror in your car, it's important for what's behind you. When you're reversing out of your driveway, you want to look in your rearview mirror. Amen. But don't drive your car like that. Amen. God has a plan. Listen, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Watch this. Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me when you find me. You will seek me when you seek me and find me when you find me with all of your heart. Then you'll call upon me. God says, I know it's bad, but you've got to come to me first. I believe God's saying that in the nation right now. I believe even what's happening right now prophetically, that God's going, hey, you got to come to me first. Come on, somebody. I thank God for the CDC. Man, I thank God for them. I thank God for government. I thank God for the health department. And I believe that God can work through in all those things. But I want to tell you, who do you go to first? Come on, somebody. Amen. See, I've discovered that God has a plan. And it says, God says, I have a plan for you. But we want the plan of God without the person of God. We have people who want the full-time plan and a part-time God. And God, in this situation, used the darkness to drive them to him. I remember when I was dating Sharon, and I really realized this is the girl I want to marry. She's the girl of my dreams. And at the time, she was just like, she was Mother Teresa. And I was trying to get her, like, so I could put my arm around her and, you know, just give her a little hug and, Jesse, but she's like, she is the Christian of all Christians. And she's like, and she's still trying to figure out, you know, do I like this guy? Do I give my heart to him? And I'd already went, yep, she's the girl for me. So I remember one time I took her to this movie that was a little scary. And I knew the scene in the movie that she just would not be able to bear watching that scene. And so in that moment, I knew she turned her head away. And to my wonder and to my pleasant surprise, she put her head on my chest, not averting her eyes from what was on the screen. And I was able for the first time to put my arm around her and console. Guys, how many know sometimes you got to use the darkness? Come on, somebody. Amen. And I want to say this. What we're facing right now in the political arena isn't about politics. It involves politics. And today, the world's in confusion. It's not about politics. Today's political arena is not even about the politics. God used a situation to draw us close to Him and that we might learn how to be dependent upon Him. And I believe that's what's happening right now. I believe that's exactly what's happening. Look what it says about this situation, about the time of Jeremiah, 2 Chronicles 15. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach the law, and without the law. But in their distress, watch this, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and they sought Him, and He was found by them. And in those days, watch this, you want to talk about a prophetic verse? It was not safe to travel about. For all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another nation. One city by another city. Because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. Anybody catching this? Anybody catching this? One nation being crushed by another nation. One city crushed by another city. Because God was troubling. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel. They sought Him, and He was found by them. In their distress, they called out to the Lord, and He let them find Him. God will use the darkness to break our independence and drive us to Him. Come on, if you're going to give the Lord... You can have darkness in your family. We can have darkness in the city. We can have darkness in the global picture. There can even be darkness at times in the church and even in the nation. But it's only when we seek God with all of our heart that we find Him. And here's what I want to say to you, church. Watch this now. It's got to start with the church. Before God does anything to the world, He always starts everything with the church. Amen. God has a plan and He starts it with you. 35 years. And I want to say to you, watch this. Everything God does from heaven, He starts in the church. It starts in God's house, not in the White House. Can anybody say amen? We've got to be faithful in prayer. How can we bring hope and joy and patience to a world when we're the ones afflicted? We've got to learn how to be patient in affliction. We've got to be joyful in hope. We've got to be faithful in prayer. I would never expect the world that does not yet know God to do those things. But we, the church, have got to learn how to be joyful in hope and be part of the answer and not part of the problem. Come on, 35 years. We've got to be faithful in prayer. How can we be joyful in hope when we're in a dark place? Because God has a plan. How can we be patient in affliction? Because God uses the darkness to drive us to Him. How can we be faithful in prayer? Listen to it. Because in the darkness and affliction, it drives people to God. Come on, somebody. I was thinking about Sodom and Gomorrah. You've ever heard about the story about Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, is that a perplexing story to you? I mean, it's amazing because the Bible tells the story about, like, God was going to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know in actual fact He did wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't He? And so God reveals His plan and He says, I'm going to wipe out the whole city. They're just too gone, too sinful. They're too rebellious. And I mean, the things they were doing were deplorable, detestable, just inconceivable. So far gone, no conscience whatsoever. And so God says, I'm going to destroy the city. So this man of God says, well, God, I gotcha. But God, what if there were just, let me see if I got the numbers right here. What if there was just 50 righteous people? Would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah if we could just find 50 righteous people? How many know we can reason with God at times? And so God goes, all right, I'll give it to you. We'll find 50 people who are righteous and we'll spare it. And God go, and this great man of God says, well, okay, God, but if there's 50, what about for 40? Would you spare it for 40? And God goes, this is called bargaining with God. And God goes, 40 it is. He goes, well, God, if you go to 40, would you go to 30? And God goes, the true story, read this in your Bible. This actually happened. And he goes, well, God, would you go to 30? And God goes, all right, I'll go to 30. Well, God, what about 20? What if there were not 30, but what if there were 20? And God goes, all right, 20. If there are 20 righteous people, he goes, God, all right. And he figures this is it. Okay, surely he's got to be 10. He goes, God, if there's 10, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? Would you please save it if there's just 10? And God says, all right, if there's 10, I'll save Sodom and Gomorrah. But we know, of course, according to the scripture, there were not 10 righteous people. Listen to this. And it was destroyed. Watch this. Not just because of the sin of sinners. It was also destroyed. I want you to hear this. 35 years, Metro Church. It was destroyed also because the righteous couldn't be located. Can I tell you this? Lot was a typical American Christian. Only concerned with his personal peace and influence and didn't give a rip about the rest of the city. His wife, she was like, I don't know how to describe her. As she's fleeing the city because God's destroying it because they couldn't be found 10 righteous people, God said to them, whatever you do, don't look back. And as she is fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah, she was so in love with what was so of the world that she was taken out because she looked back. I don't know how to describe it. Maybe she's a Saks Nordstrom's girl and she's on her way out. And his daughters had incestuous relationships. And he, watch this, and you and I are faced, I want you to hear this, in this nation, in a calamitous situation. And I want to ask you, I want to say to you, God wants full-time Christians, not part-time saints. Amen? God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was a righteous man, but he couldn't even lead his wife. She was more in love with the world than she was the things of God. He couldn't even lead his own daughters, two daughters that we know of in Scripture, and they were married. But Lot's leadership influence, Metro Church, 35 years today. Can the righteous be located? If Lot just led his wife, if Lot just led his children and that influence expanded over the men that they married and there was just two more, then the whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared. And I've come to ask you today, do people know you're a Christian? All right, we'll keep moving. Oh, thank you. Did I just knock over the water? Did it just come, the water? Oh, I did knock it over. Clean up on aisle 5. Church, I want to say this to you. This is a matter for our children and for the future of our nation that they will live in. When God has his people's full-time attention, I want to say this, then they will hear from him. I will be found of you, says verse 14, says the Lord. And I will end your captivity and restore your futures, fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you. And I will bring you home again to your land. And I've just come to tell you, 35 years, it starts with us. Can anybody say amen? Amen. God has a future. God has a hope. God has a plan for this nation. But it starts with you and me, church. And I want to applaud you and celebrate you. And I've come up here, praise the Lord, with my wife to celebrate in your 35th anniversary. But I've come to tell you, come on, the best is yet to come. Understand that God is not done. There's more to do. Can anybody say amen? And God says, I will restore your future. How many know we've been ripped off? I'll restore your fortune, what you've lost. I've got a lit verse in a dark place. God wants our undivided attention. And here is my closing thought. Don't give up until you look up. And there's too many people wanting to give up. Men's hearts will fail them with fear. But the Bible says if you understand that God will actually cause the darkness to drive people to Him, and it's got to start with us. Amen? And don't give up until you look up in Jesus' name. I think we should all give the Lord a hand. You know what I have great hope for? This thought of hope. Hope means He can give me back what I lost. Listen to this. Even when it's my fault, I lost it. I can get back what I lost even when it's my fault. I lost it. Church, that's the God we serve. That's the God that has been building this church for the last 35 years. And it's the God that will continue to build your life and your family and this nation. But it's got to start with us. I again want to applaud you on a Sunday morning where so many people, and I want to just say something to the people at online watching right now. We understand that you made a decision that would be wiser and safe for you. And I want to say this message is as much for you as it is everybody else. We're so glad you're watching. Can we applaud the people who are watching online? Amen. Wherever that camera is, praise the Lord. It's over there. I'm talking to this guy because he's got a camera. Cameraman, that was the most genuine attempt to have meaningful eye contact. But let me try it. Can everybody just turn around and look at the camera for a minute and let everybody online feel like they are a part of this because they are in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. We love you. That's awesome. I just want to say to everybody else online over here. Probably should have asked that question before I started. Amen. This is a biblical church. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. Amen. How many love your pastors? Amen. I love them. We celebrate you. We say happy anniversary. Don and Nita, you must be so proud to see what the Lord is doing. Chad and Julie, you are absolutely amazing. We applaud you from Virginia Beach. You are a great leader. These guys serve as directors of Wave Collective. They help steward the vision of Wave Collective, a gathering of churches that Chad mentioned earlier. And they also help steward the vision of what we do for our Wave Conference, helping many, many churches all over the United States and frankly around the world, wherever God's given us a footprint. And I publicly, I am here today because of our friendship, because of my love for you, my absolute admiration for you, and my excitement and pride for you in a godly way. And I prophesy today, you wait and see. You haven't seen anything yet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.